You're listening to The Language Experiment, the show that's all about raising multilingual children. I'm Kaisa Martiskainen.
And I'm Camilo Lakis. And we will explore how parents can help their kids become fluent in more than one language.
So sit back, relax, and let's dive in. Welcome to the Language Experiment, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. Today, we are bringing to you our very first interview. So this is very exciting. We are already some 12 episodes deep into this podcast, and some people might be thinking, didn't they say they would be interviewing people? So yes, you didn't dream that. We actually said we would be interviewing parents and experts. And today we bring to you our guest, a mom who is raising her kids trilingual. Her name is Priscilla. She's originally from Brazil and she moved to Canada some 13 years ago, and she's married to a French Canadian. Together, they have 5-year-old twins, a boy and a girl, and 2 dogs whom they suspect to be bilingual, if not trilingual as well. So I feel like this is a topic for a new podcast that nobody has started yet, how to raise your pets multilingual. So that's just a free podcast idea for anyone who's interested. But without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Priscilla.
Hi, Kaisa. Thank you for having me.
Hi, how are you?
To be.
So how do you feel?
I feel great. I have so much to say.
We're so happy that you're here today with us. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. So let's jump right in. You grew up speaking Brazilian Portuguese and you learned English a little bit later in school. Can you tell me about your experience raising your children trilingual in a Canadian province where the majority language is French, which is a language you only learned later in life?
Well, I think it's interesting. First of all, we're very fortunate to live in a province that gives us this opportunity to be bilingual right off the bat. In Brazil, we have English, we have access to English and Spanish as well, but it's not as if we would live in a bilingual place that gives you this all this material and this exposure. So when I moved to Canada, for me, it was always imperative that my kids would speak Portuguese, because not only because it's important for them to be able to talk to my family, but also as a heritage, you know, part of my culture and where I come from. I want them to know, to understand, to be proud of. So it was a very interesting experience in the sense that our learning path in Brazil is different from our learning path here. In Canada, it's more natural because we have more access. When you go to the grocery store or TV or books, it's way easier than in Brazil because we have to actively look for courses, and you cannot just strike conversation in English with people to practice. So you actually have to go after this kind of instruction to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's the case in a lot of countries where, of course, you always have tourists but that speak different languages, but people don't have access to these people all the time. So even if they learn a language such as English in school, sometimes you just don't get to practice it with anyone in everyday life.
Exactly. And it's funny because my parents always thought it was important for us to learn another language, in that case, especially English. So the moment that we were able to read fast enough to read subtitles, they would always rent, because at that time it was like a rent a video tape.
Oh yeah,
they would rent a movie with subtitles always. So we would practice, and of course, like, everybody learns English with friends and watching TV and subtitles. That was very important. And I think part of this is translating into the kind of language education I'm giving to my kids. Whether or not TV is good or bad, it's a source and is a valuable source for them. And I'm trying to leverage that.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I fully agree with you. Subtitles, hearing movies and series in their original language and then having subtitles is very important. We're also very big on that in the Nordic countries. And that's why I think people there, they speak English very well. And many people speak multiple languages. So completely agree. And good, well done, your parents. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good experience for us. Lion King was the best.
It is the best. That's awesome. So on to the next question. How do you and your husband manage to balance the languages at home? And what strategies have you found effective in ensuring that your children get enough exposure to each language?
That's the question. That's a very interesting question because has to be something that is thought of, that is intentional in our case. So it's not a matter of I'm going to try to speak in Portuguese to them and my husband's going to try to speak in French and let's see what's going to happen. We always had the strategy of being mindful of our languages. So when I was expecting the twins, I read a book, two-thirds of the book called Trilingual by Six by Dr. Lenis Dibble. And although it was very focused on the US and their particular scenario where there's like one language that's English and their types of sources. So one of the advices he gives, just get a Spanish speaking nanny if you want your kids to speak Spanish. That's not everybody's reality.
That's right.
But I think bottom line, the message that I got from the book, and it's something that I had inside already, it's a message that I knew, is that language is exposure. For a while, I taught English in Brazil, and I remember the students would come for 45 minutes once a week, and they were expecting to become fully bilingual in a short amount of time. And that's not the case. I would always tell them to watch movies with subtitles and try to expose themselves to the language that they wanted to learn as much as they could. And that's the strategy we follow with the kids. We saw that at daycare, they were more exposed to English. So whenever they would come home, we would try to balance Portuguese and French. So let's say no TV in English. Whereas right now at school, at kindergarten, they're more exposed to French. So we're trying to balance Portuguese and English at home. So they don't forget the English that they had at daycare. So whenever we see them or during a weekend that they spend a good amount of time with their grandparents speaking in French, same thing, then at home, they will be more exposed to English and Portuguese. So it's a daily observation of what they were exposed to and how we can help them. And like I said at the beginning, it's being mindful and have a purpose with the type of communication that you have with the kids, with the quality also. Like for us, it's very important to sit at a table and have a meal together and then having a conversation with the chosen language of the day, either French or Portuguese, but trying also to keep one language per parent, a strategy that I'm sure you already talked about. All that to say, we're not leaving it to fate.
That's good. That's very smart. And that's really good advice. I think being mindful about in all other areas of life is very good, but also kind of like not just creating this one plan and expecting that plan to stay the same over the years, because situations and circumstances, they change. So like you said, at some point you notice that now they're getting more English exposure. So you have to balance it out with the other languages and everything. So I think that's a very smart strategy. So always monitoring and I guess also kind of hearing them, like, is one of their languages getting a little bit weaker? Could it be that they're getting less exposure and then trying to supplement with different things in the day-to-day life?
Yeah, it makes sense. You're totally right. When we realize, because I see there's kind of we order the languages that they have right now in a way that we feel that English and French are for sure the strongest languages that they have right now. And Portuguese comes third, but I think is because the amount of exposure that they have to Portuguese at this point, which I understand. I'm the only Portuguese speaking person that they have contact on a daily basis. Sometimes they talk to my family, but you know, they have TV, they have books. It's not the same amount of time that they have with English and French. So there's a daily, like, say, monitoring of seeing, like, what language is good, which one is not, and balancing it out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you mentioned exposure, and like we've said before in our episodes, it is absolutely the most important aspect of learning a language, is getting enough exposure. And of course, I mean, it's not always possible to give equal amounts of exposure to all the languages, but that doesn't mean the kids would not be bilingual or trilingual, or that maybe after some kind of a family trip to Brazil, something like that can suddenly give them a big language boost, or maybe having family visit or something. So suddenly you get a lot more exposure, and that can again, like, offset the balance a little bit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So have you faced any challenges or obstacles in raising your children to be trilingual? And if so, how have you worked to overcome them?
Well, it's something that I'm still trying to figure out, is that they don't understand why they cannot talk in the language they choose all the time. So let's say in school, sometimes they decide to speak in English, to talk in English with each other, right? Even in Portuguese, because they found out they have a friend in their class that speaks Portuguese. And whenever they try to, which is something that we always promoting and always telling them, you know what? Talk in Portuguese or talk, you know, in English, or, and they tried at school, and the teacher was like, no, it's only in French here. They came home and they said, why? They don't understand, because, and that's what we tell them, the school is a place for you to learn. So why I cannot continue to learn this language? And so that's the first challenge we're facing, to try to make them understand that why school is only French, and why with some people you have to speak this language or that language. And sometimes it's the other way around, right? So I remember at daycare, they had a lot of Asian friends that they were speaking in Chinese, and they felt left out. And they would come home and say, yeah, well, they were speaking in Chinese, I couldn't understand, so I wanted to learn Chinese so I could speak to them, which is super cute. And at this, all this context with the culture and language, that's the first challenge I think we're facing. And I think the second most difficult challenge is the scarcity of material that we have in Canada, in a way, regarding Portuguese. It's not as easy to find Portuguese books or TV or quality conversation with people like other than us, as is if they were in Brazil. Let's say people can bring books from Brazil, we can try to find some books online, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I will love to have more access to books and TV. For now, where it's Disney Plus, the
that helps.
They have pretty much everything in Portuguese from Brazil. But that's something interesting also, because sometimes some TV shows, they have Portuguese from Portugal, and they turn to us and they say, why they're speaking in English? They didn't do this. So no, that's Portuguese.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised that they would think that they're speaking English.
It takes them a while to do the switch. And then I said, hey, they said this. They said, oh, okay. So that's not the Portuguese from Brazil.
That's really interesting. Yeah. But I think all of those challenges that you mentioned, so first, yeah, kind of language politics. So even, or kind of that, going to a certain kind of school or institution or being in a certain kind of place, some people will only speak a certain language, or that kids are encouraged or even forced to speak a certain language and no other language is allowed. So yeah, that can be something that already touches kids who are in school, and who knows, maybe even daycare. So that's kind of a it's a rough challenge to learn at such a young age. And yes, also, like you mentioned, language exclusion. So some people talking a language that you don't understand and you feel left out. So of course, like that can happen also within the family, but definitely in other settings. And then we can only think like, how can we help kids solve this kind of issue? It's a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yes, and especially because sometimes we are in an environment where I want people to understand what I'm talking to my kids. So let's say with my in-laws, and then I speak in English or in French with the kids, and they look at me and say, why are you not speaking in Portuguese with me right now?
Yeah.
I love it, but they are right. So all this contextualization that is happening and they're trying to understand is another layer on top of, you know, trying to be trilingual.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like you think that it's just this straight road and you'll just stay on it. And then if you keep going for years, you'll be good. But it turns out that it's like an onion and you're peeling one layer after another. And it might be challenging now. It might not be challenging in the future, but you'll have something completely different that you didn't even know to expect years ago.
That's true, but that's even for us, right? So it's uncharted territory coming from Brazil and trying to understand the whole language politics. For me, it's still a bit weird when I'm speaking French and someone just switched to English. It's like, why?
that's another very interesting topic that I think a lot of language learners, maybe older language learners, deal with. So how hard is it to learn? Like, how do the native speakers of a certain language treat you when you are in the process of learning? So I think that varies across languages a lot. So I think French speakers are famous for being very, let's say, very demanding of people who are only beginning to learn the language. And then there are others, maybe I would say in my own experience, Spanish speakers, for example, who are much more forgiving and maybe more welcoming. So yeah, that's a whole other world of kind of, yeah, just challenges and different kind of experiences that you have to go through as a language learner. So I can definitely relate.
Yeah, there's always a challenge.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What would life be without challenges? So as you are raising twins, what kind of differences have you noticed between them when it comes to language learning? And would you say that the way you communicate with each child and expose them to your language is the same, or is it different? Is it more tailored to their personality, maybe?
That's also a very interesting question. And I feel like whenever we talk about children and everything, twin situations always a topic that is left out because it's a minority. I remember when I was pregnant and during this their education and everything, whenever I try to find materials specific about twins, there's never anything. But honestly, language wise it's pretty similar with both of them. We realized with my boy at the beginning that he had some language challenges. For up until today, it's normal. They're mixing the three languages all the time. But my boy, he was stuttering a little bit and he had trouble with some particular sounds. And I remember we went to see the pediatrician and the pediatrician was just like, nope, it's too early. Don't worry about it. It's going to come naturally. And it's true. It came and now he doesn't stutter anymore. I just felt that he was so eager to speak correctly or to have his idea that he was just talking too fast. Mm-hmm. But actually watching them talking to themselves, it's my gauge to see which language they are stronger or which language needs some boost. Like I see they rarely speak in Portuguese to each other, mm-hmm. whereas most of the time it's either in French or in English. But it depends also on the exposure. Let's say if they watched a movie that was in Portuguese, I could see that right after for a certain amount of time, they still talk to in Portuguese to each other, but then it goes away. You know, they start to speak in English or in French again. But I'm always observing their relationship and their dynamics. And for me, it's perfect because I don't have to actively go look for it. I can just sit and watch.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, yeah, those things that you mentioned. So, those things that you mentioned are definitely things that I know many parents raising multilingual children, they might be some of those concerns that they have. So if they notice that maybe their child seems to be a little bit slower in some things, developing their language, I mean, it could be that they're actually a little bit slower developing these things, or it could just be perceived that way. But sometimes also kids do stutter or they mix languages and all these things. And like you said, for the majority of children, actually these phases of stuttering or maybe even not speaking that much and these other things, they in most cases resolve themselves on their own. And at least based on the research that we've looked at, it seems that multiple languages don't seem to have any kind of an effect on stuttering or any of these things. So, but then when you're in it yourself, when you're raising multilingual children and you know that you're doing something differently, it's easy to always think like, oh, is this happening because I'm teaching them multiple languages? So do you feel like you sometimes when there's something that you're not sure if it's normal or not, you start doubting yourself a little bit because you know you're exposing them to more languages?
Yeah, you blame the different thing. whatever is different, you blame on it. But yeah. I remember when we were talking to the doctor and we were cautious, you know, like we saw this pattern that we just wanted to check with him if it was okay or not. And the doctor was a bit like, you're exaggerating. It's too early, but I think we just wanted to be good parents and have that checked, you know, just in case it's something that it was a kind of a situation that the earlier the better, you know, it's caught and treated. But in the end, the doctor was right. It went away, which we're happy. And he said that he has still some issues with some sounds like F, but I don't think that it's related to being trilingual. Probably it's just a part of his path, you know, in learning to speak overall.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, like we all know as first time parents or even second time parents, it's when we're worried and anxious about something, it's better to talk to someone. It's better to talk to a professional. And of course, like if they say that there's no need to worry, then maybe we don't need to push it more at that point. But I mean, it is completely valid to present your case and to tell a pediatrician or a speech therapist or someone if you're having some worries, because we never know. This is our first time doing this, and maybe it is something or maybe it is nothing. So it's always good to hear that, okay, it'll probably resolve itself on its own. No need to worry. This is completely normal. So even just hearing those words, it helps a lot.
Yes, for sure. Better safe than sorry.
Exactly. So how do you incorporate Brazilian culture and traditions in your family's life, if that's something that you do?
For sure. I wish I could do it more, but my way of doing this, first of all, is through food, because I love Brazilian food and I miss it a lot. So whenever I cook something new, something from Brazil, it's a different subject that I bring to the kids so we can talk about it, about the ingredients or the region of Brazil where this food is popular. So to talk about more folklore and geography. And the second thing that I try to do a lot is through books, because there are some particular books that talk about history of Brazil and folklore in Brazil. So the kids love them, about indigenous populations there. And those are their favorite books. And those stories that I learned at school, it's something that it's precious to me, and I really wanted them to know them. It's good memories, and it would be a shame for them not to be exposed to those things and know them. it's good fond memories. So I try it as much as I can. Like I mentioned before, I wish I had more access to books, as the books I have, I brought from Brazil. But it's good to have some variety of materials and explore more, because Brazilian culture is pretty vast and rich, and we have limited access to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really a shame. And I think it's something that many people, like many individuals, many parents who are living outside of their home country, they have that exact problem. It's not always easy to get access to resources such as books. Like sometimes you can order books online or have your family send them to you, but it's, you can't do it whenever you want. And some people might not even have access to that. So it is definitely tricky, and we have to find ways of getting around that. But I think what you are doing with cooking and introducing Brazilian cuisine to your kids and your family, and then incorporating geography and history, folklore into that, I think that's genius. Because of course, there might be some ingredients that you might not find here in Canada that you would need, but maybe that's okay. It's really more about getting the kids excited about something. And really, I mean, sharing food or cooking food to your family, it's really, you're putting yourself and your love and the culture all into the same mix. So I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and I remember those memories when my grandma was cooking and singing, all those little things, you know, that made me feel still like homesick. And the kids, you know, sometimes when I find a particular fruit that it's very popular in Brazil and not so common here in Canada, they recognize them and they feel like, oh, look, mom, that's from Brazil. They feel proud about it. And I am proud that they are, you know, it's like, okay, mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's amazing, because it must make them feel really special, because it's not something that maybe their friends know. And it's a part of them in a way.
Yes.
That's really nice. Are there any special resources that have been helpful in exposing your kids to your native language?
Yes. Like I said, Disney Plus. different from other streaming platforms, I feel that Disney Plus is the one that really has multiple languages. Or pretty much all TV shows that they like are in Portuguese, and that's the language they know they're going to listen to. I'm really interested also in this material. I honestly didn't start yet, but I want to. It's called Kichi Papagaios. It's material to help the kids to learn to read and write in Portuguese, but this is dedicated to people that are not in Brazil. I figure that while they're learning how to read and write in French at school, I would do the same in Portuguese with them at home, so they could learn at the same time the sounds of the letters and the words in Portuguese. Maybe it will make things easier for them when they start to read in Portuguese in the future. I'm not sure this is a good idea or a bad idea. I'm still trying to figure this out. I don't want to overwhelm them at the same time. But I have the kit, and I'm planning on using this. And something else, also, there's a Facebook group in Portuguese. It's called Criando Filhos Bilingues. It's Raising Bilingual Kids. And they always sharing a lot of like materials. And it's families from all around the world in this group. And they're always sharing their strategies or what they're doing for their, and that's where I learned about this kit to teach to read and write in Portuguese. So that's a very good source for me as well. So I'm always being up to date with the new techniques and what's available out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really great. And I feel like these, any kind of online resources, be it Facebook groups or groups on some other platform, they are super useful, because exactly like you say, they connect people from all over the world. And I guess in the case of this group, it is specifically, I guess, Brazilians or Portuguese speakers who are raising bilingual children. they are the best people to get recommendations from for these very specific resources, like the kit that you mentioned. And also, it must be so nice to hear from other people who are in the exact same situation as you, trying to teach Portuguese to their children, and maybe they're living abroad, maybe they're married to someone who's not Brazilian or a Portuguese speaker. Definitely, I think these kind of groups are really amazing. And I think the kit that you mentioned sounds really interesting. And we're also sometimes thinking, should we include some more kind of academic kind of activities and things like that? But then we're also not quite sure. It's a challenge because I think everybody does what they think is best and what their kids enjoy. Maybe it's just a question of trying it out and seeing how our kids like it. And if they don't, if they're not that into it, maybe we'll bring it up sometime later in life. Or if they like it, then that's another fun activity to add to their life.
That's right. That's an experiment, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know that we're all about language experiments.
Yeah. I guess in the end, it's really to see what works for you. And like I said, I don't want to overwhelm them, but let's give it a try. You see, maybe it works and it's going to be something else, another source for them.
Exactly, exactly. And also, like, kids' personalities are different. So what works for one or what is really interesting and fun for one might not be that to the next kid. So it's really about trial and error. And if someone doesn't like something right now, it doesn't mean that they won't like it in the future. So I guess that's the great thing about working with kids and exposing them to different things and trying to come up with fun activities for them.
For sure. There's no recipe book for that.
Nope. We just have to try it out.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice or words of encouragement for other parents out there who are raising their children to be bilingual or multilingual?
I would say that is definitely worth the effort. without a doubt. I think while I was doing my research, also I started to read, even before I had kids, on what it is to be bilingual as an adult, moving to Canada, or having to learn a new language from scratch, and then having kids and how I'm going to help them with my mother language. I remember that one of the articles I read said that actually bilingual and trilingual kids, they have multiple souls. And that sentence always stuck to my head, in the way that having multilingual people, they perceive reality in a different way. Because of the context switch and the grammar structure, they can see the world in different ways. And that was beautiful and amazing. And every time I felt that it's difficult for me, or that this is too challenging, I think of a gift that I'm giving them, of that opportunity of being able to see the world through many perspectives, you know, through many realities. And that's amazing. And all the studies on kids' brains, they are multilingual. It's only starting, and every day they come up with something new and an advantage for being bilingual or trilingual. My advice is, yes, it's not easy. It requires some effort, and we have to be mindful and intentional about our actions, but it's definitely worth it.
That's great. How beautiful and insightful. Thank you for those words. And I couldn't agree more with you. This is really the perfect ending for our first interview. It has been such a pleasure to have you as a guest, Priscilla. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
If any of you listeners have any questions to Priscilla, we'd be happy to receive your questions and send them her way. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's continue on this multilingual parenting journey together. See you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Language Experiment. Subscribe to our feed and follow us on all podcast platforms. Reach out to us via email and social media with your questions and topic suggestions. All links can be found on the show notes.
And please share this podcast with anyone interested in raising multilingual children. Let's build a community together. See you next time on The Language Experiment.